Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave. We're doing a, you know, I'm bringing back my show. Put it like that. How about that? Because I think there are some issues that need to be talked about that haven't been discussed fully or intelligently or just been covered the way that they should be covered. So I'm bringing back JD's Man Cave starting tonight. And I will be bringing back some of my guests as well. I'm gonna be bringing back Big Red, Bobbino probably. You know, so we'll get them back here on the show. So y'all look forward to that. But we'll be discussing some of those issues that we used to discuss, and some of the real things that Black men have to face every day. You know, right now I wanted to come back because we're getting ready for these kids to go back to school. And that's a touchy issue with me, because I think that kids, and we'll be right back with that topic. Kids are near and dear to my heart. There's two people in this world to me that you don't fool with. It's old people and little kids. But we'll talk about that right after this. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, and we're like I said, I wanted to talk about, and by the way, y'all can see in the background, that's my Penny right there. She's a camera hound right now. That's my baby. She ain't going nowhere. As long as I'm here, she right up under me. That's just what she do. But anyway, if somebody fed me like I feed her, I'd be right up under them too. But anyway, like I said, I came back because I wanted to talk about this issue with these kids going back. And we have a governor here in the state of Texas who, to me, is a pure, unadulterated idiot. We like to call him Hot Wheels, you know, and that's just what we call him, because he always got some kind of flaming, idiotic situation that he tends to stir up in the midst of all the real issues that are going on. He'll find something stupid to say. So, and I can't wait to election. I hope everybody gets out and let's vote this clown. I want to see him as a greeter at Walmart. That's where I want his next job to be. Instead of the governor's mansion, he need to be living over there off of Post Oak somewhere, working at that Walmart. But like I said, he wants to send kids back in the midst of a pandemic and do not require them to wear a mask. Not only does he not want to require them to wear a mask, he also wants to find any school district that makes it a mandate to wear a mask. Are you serious? Man, the CDC has come out and said from beginning of this pandemic that wearing a mask and then added with the vaccination is the best way to deter this pandemic from spreading even more. Now, first of all, we don't have a vaccination for kids under, what is it, under 12? I think 12 and under, they don't even have a vaccination that they feel comfortable using. So we're talking about elementary and middle school kids. Now, how disciplined, first of all, are elementary and middle school kids? How much discipline is it going to take to keep them with a mask on, first of all? That's already a big hurdle for teachers. But then for you to come on TV and talk about that they shouldn't have to wear them, And we've actually had and seen town hall meetings from different districts about, you know, these kids wearing these, and they giving these kids a say-so. I grew up in one of them houses where kids didn't have an opinion. You did what we told you, and that was it. You know, that was the household I grew up in. Now, when I got about 14 or 15, my opinion may have started to matter about that much. But that's not much at all. And for you to tell these kids it's an option, then the option is going to be they're going to pull the mask off. And not only that, the CDC done required from 6 feet to 3 feet for each child, you know, each for distance as far as social distancing. Now, first of all, these classrooms have about 28 to 35 kids in them. They're already going to be too close. 3 feet is definitely too close, I think. And not only that, each one of these kids is like a little petri dish for bacteria, just waiting to be passed on to the next one. They play with each other. They touch on each other. They don't wash their hands. They go to the bathroom, don't wash their hands. They touch each other's faces. They, you know how we did when we were kids? We enjoyed each other. We played. We wrestled. We tackled. We whatever. And for you to say, don't worry about wearing a mask, and also for these kids not to be vaccinated, not only are you putting a child in jeopardy, but you're also putting these households that these kids go back into. And many of us know that our households have mixed families. You may have an elderly uncle or auntie or grandmother living in that house. And we know how susceptible elderly people are to this pandemic. And not only that, it's detrimental to their health because they are some of the, you know, leading candidates to get and suffer severely from COVID, with vaccinations or without, because of their weakened immune system because of their age. So we want to just talk about the common sense factor. Now, I was told a long time ago, common sense really ain't that common. If it was, there would be a lot less stupidity in the world. So we have to understand that just through a common sense aspect, parents should be lobbying for their kids to have to wear masks. I've spoken to several of my friends who have school-age kids, and they said there's no way in the world they're sending their child back to school without a mask. They're going to tell their kid to wear a mask, but let's be honest, how much influence is that once that kid gets out of your eyesight? You know, we all were kids at one time. My parents may tell me to do something one way or whatever. As soon as they don't see me, I'm doing it my way. So that's exactly still the type of kids that you're dealing with. So for the school and the district to not back up the parents' wishes and what's best for the child is purely idiotic to me. So, you know, I've even had friends talking about homeschooling their kids, you know, taking them out of public school and putting them in programs such as K-12 or, you know, there's other public homeschooling that you can do, other varieties of. So I'm thinking that the districts are going to lose kids because I figure after the first 3 months, not, you know, like they say, 90-day grace period or whatever, going back to school, we're going to start to see a great, great rise in children getting sick and ending up in the hospital. And they already talked about how many children are in the kids' ICUs. They have 2 beds in different counties and 1 bed in the entire state. Now, I mean, it's just ridiculous numbers that just show how rampant COVID is in the young community. And for you to send them all back to school piled on top of one another and not mandate that they wear masks, knowing that they cannot get vaccinated, you are putting a child, like I said, you're putting a child and those households in jeopardy. And I don't know if the American or the Texas people are going to stand for it. You know, we have a lot of things that we will go for, but we really don't like you playing with our children. And once so many kids start getting sick, they may do the governor's mansion like they did the White House when they were talking about getting Donald Trump out of there. You may see that happen down here in Texas. So I'm just hoping that, as they say, we have to pray for our leaders, you know, and hoping that wisdom kicks in and a greater understanding becomes relevant to the powers that be, as they say. Because I don't understand why they would send children back, basically putting them in a fishbowl and letting them play with each other with no mask on and no vaccination. And we've seen how many lives just in the past year and a half, 2 years that the pandemic has taken. And for it to be start being children being more of the numbers that we see rising, there's going to be a different take on that. I mean, you know, it was bad when it was just adults basically dying. But when you start killing kids, kids start dying off because of a pandemic or a disease that could have been prevented from being spread simply by certain rules being put in place, I think you're going to see a backlash that we've never seen here in the state of Texas. And I may be one of the ones leading it, helping out at least. You know, I don't want to end up like some of them folks that stormed the Capitol, you know, that's getting prosecuted. But hey, let me tell you something. Shit, like I said, there are two people in this world that I hate to see being mistreated, and that's children and old people. You know, those are the weakest sectors of our community. And for you to take advantage of them or do them a disservice really burns a spot in me. But, you know, school is going to start back. I think them bringing all the kids back to school is a little more of an economic factor being bled into this, because they want to get children back to school and parents back to work, and then the economic system back rolling like it was. So we have to understand that money still is what they say, the root of all evil. But it's really the love of money. And America has a love of money. We are a capitalistic society. Everything that we do tends to be, you know, focused on greed and gain, monetary gain rather. So that's what they're trying to do. But when these kids start dying off, what is going to be more important, money or your children? So we want to get back to the fact that you know, we want to take it, you know, as much precautions as we can when dealing with our kids, because they are precious, and as the guy said on Coming to America, I believe the children are our future. You know what I'm saying? And if you start killing off your future at an early age, then what are you really going to accomplish in the long run? So we need to understand that let's be more focused on safety and being committed to the safety of our children, rather than making sure that this economic ball that we play with keeps on rolling. So enough about that factor. You guys are, you know, you tend to make your own decision on what you're going to do with your kids. But I just want you to understand that you need to make sure that your kids' safety is most important in your household. Another topic that I want to talk about is, let's have a hand clap for Rihanna. Rihanna becoming one of the youngest black female billionaires in the world. This young lady has came into the scene, you know, some years back. She's not a newcomer by any stretch of the imagination. She's been out for quite a while. But this young lady has parlayed her platform and her stardom into being a billionaire. She didn't do it with her music, even though her music opened the door. She was smart enough and savvy enough to understand that that was just that, an opening to break through. She started her own clothing. What is it? She got a clothing line, perfume, cosmetics. She just dove into the fashion and beauty industry, which we so often don't end up getting a piece. Now, we are the biggest consumers of fashion. We're the biggest consumers of makeup, you know, beauty products. We buy more weave than probably anybody in the world. And we don't own any of the companies that produce it. We don't own any of the companies that distribute it. So Rihanna parlayed her stardom into her own company that produces, distributes, and sells at a retail level her products. So to me, for a young lady to be that savvy, I don't know, maybe she had smart people in her corner, but you know, that's smart of her to get smart people. You know, so let's just understand that. Whatever help she had, she did the right thing by making this move to set herself up. And let me tell you something, she has changed her whole family dynamics. You know, when you become a billionaire, your money outlasts you. Regardless, even you will kill yourself doing crazy stuff trying to spend $1 billion. And to my understanding, she's worth like 1.7 billion. So that's $1.7 billion. So 700 million is enough, but then you got $1 billion on. Oh, come on, man, that's a ridiculous amount of money to be playing with at the age of what? How old is she? Like 20? She's like in her mid 20s, 23, 25, somewhere around there. I'm not a big Rihanna fan, but I do try to keep up with current events. So I just want to let you know that that is a great example of someone using their platform and their mindset and the ingenuity that it took for her to parlay her stardom into this mega conglomerate that she's built for herself. So I applaud any black person, let alone a black young female. And not only that, she's an inspiration to a lot of young black women out there who are trying to figure out, you know, what to do with their lives. And just that she's a shining example of what you can do if you put your mind to it and hone your craft and do what you need to do and be diligent and steadfast in trying to be successful. So I applaud her once again. Yes, hold on. My producer is trying to call me. Hold on. What is it? Say something.
Question is, why can't men handle a strong, independent billionaire? I mean, rich woman. Rich black woman.
Well, I love that question because let me tell you something. Men can't. It's them little boys that dressed up like men that can't. See, a real man understands his woman's ambition, his woman's drive, and he applauds it and celebrates it with her. You know, when you get to a real man, you get you a best friend, you get you a cheerleader, you get you a support team, a one-man support team, you know, and he's going to show up and understand that when you shine, he shine. You know, that's what real men do. Like, I would never have a problem with a woman who has more money than me. Woman that makes more money than me. That's not a problem. Especially if we're in love and we're cohabitating and taking care of one another. Because money isn't everything in a relationship. Now, you gotta have money to have a good, happy relationship. But the thing that's most important in a relationship is communication, support, honor, loyalty, and all these things. And money doesn't buy any of those. So a man understands that he has to bring all those things to the table if he's not making as much money as his woman. And that's cool. That doesn't make you less of a man. That just makes you less in the financial, form. But a real woman and a real man together, even if she makes more money than him, she will still understand that he is the man and the leader of the relationship. You know, she won't use her money as I run this. You know, because if you take that money and I run this as a role, then you're going to cause that man to rebel because you're trying to emasculate him. And a real man is not going to allow you to emasculate him. He'll leave the premises before he lets you emasculate him, a real man. Now, if you got a little boy who's just trying to hang on to your money, he gonna sit there and let you, you can get up and slap him in the morning if you want to. But man, you slap him, he gone. If he real, if he crazy, he might slap you back. Then you got yourself a whole nother problem with your money and a swole eye. But you know that's just what you asking for. But let me tell you something about real men. You know, so many times women mistake little boys that are grown for grown men. And then you want to get mad because the grown little boy that you got didn't have the attributes of a grown man that you thought you was getting. See, and that comes from you not doing your homework. You saw what you like. You didn't pay attention to the red flags. You didn't pay attention to the small things that he was not doing, his lack of drive, his lack of accomplishments, his lack of loyalty, his lack of respect, his lack of all these different things. You didn't even take that into sight when you were dating him. You wanted him so bad, you put up with all that. But now that you're in a relationship, you want to think that you can change him. Or if I go ahead and marry him, and he see all the money I got and all the things I can buy, I can change him. Tell you something, you ain't gonna be able to change a man unless he's wearing diapers. And if he wearing diapers, he's probably too old anyway. So you don't really want him. So get you a do your homework when you're dealing with a man. Not only do your homework, put him to the test. Challenge him at certain points in your relationship. See, because let me tell you something about a man. A man doesn't mind a challenge. Now, a little boy, he gonna get mad. He gonna get upset with you. You try to challenge him. A man will communicate through the challenge and let you understand what he's looking for out of the relationship. But a little boy, oh, he gonna explode. He gonna act a fool. You ever seen that kid throw that tantrum on a cereal aisle? You end up with you a grown man throwing a tantrum on a cereal aisle in your living room. So, you know, you have to understand that you have to do your homework and your research to get what you really want. Just because sometimes women are settled just to say, I got a man. And you got a man, he wears size 38, 32 in pants, you know, or 40, 32 in pants or whatever. So, yeah, he's pretty good size dude. He grown. He, you know, a 1XL, a 2XL shirt. So, yeah, he big. He a man. He grown, you know what I'm saying, in age. But is his mindset grown? Is his ambitions grown? Is his knowledge grown? Is his wisdom there to accommodate that size and that stature? And in many cases, we'll get that guy with that stature, but we won't get the one with the mindset to go along with the stature. You end up having a 6 foot, 235 pound, 12-year-old at your house. And then you want to understand, why is he acting a fool? Because he's 12 in the head. He never grew up. First of all, you got him from his mama's house. He was 30 years old living at his mama's house, telling you he take care of his mama. No, he's not. He's living over there because he don't want to go get no bills and pay rent somewhere. That's why he's there. So, no, if you gonna pull a man out of his mama's house, guess what? You finna become his mama. And you got to deal with the same thing his mama had to deal with. Getting up, Junior done left his shoes, the clothes in the living room. He done left, you know, he ain't washed no dishes. You done told him, you know, he want to take you to work, drop you off in your car, and ride around all day with his homeboy, drinking and smoking, chilling, going seeing another girl in your car. All that. You signed up for that, though, because you pulled him out of a situation where that's what he was able to do in the first place. He was doing that with his mama. He was at his mama's house. He come home when he feel like it. He didn't have to pay no light bill. He didn't have to pay no gas, no water, none of it. He don't know nothing about no bills. The first don't mean nothing to him but a new month. No real man know the first don't never sneak up on him. The first of the month come, he got all his money ready, set to the side, waiting on the bill. No, the bills ain't got to wait on him. He waiting on the bill. So as soon as they hit that mailbox, guess what? Shooting it out there. Like, look, them little boys be like this in the strip club. Grown man be like that with his bill, sending out that dope, take care of it. So there's a big difference in that. So there's no real man that's really worried about a strong black woman. I mean, black women been strong all our lives. I mean, most of them were raised by strong black women. Had to be strong because the man took off. You got to be strong. Black women have become strong out of a necessity, not because they want to be. I'll tell you something about, I can tell you that because my wife is a strong black woman. When I met her, she was a single parent raising four kids on her own. So tell me she wasn't strong. And look, now one of her kids was malnutrition. Now one of them looked like they was homeless. They all had clothes. They all had shoes. They all had everything. They was well fed. They weren't no slim kids. They all healthy and good looking kids. So I know that she sacrificed and had to be strong at moments when she wanted to be weak. You see what I'm saying? So I knew that when I stepped into that relationship, I was dealing with a strong black woman. But the thing was, I also knew I was dealing with a fractured and hurt black woman because she had been let down so many times by men that she thought were men and found out they were grown boys. They were 6 foot tall, 240 pound, 12-year-old that she was dealing with. And, you know, she had no help from them trying to raise their kids, you know, because so many times men went, oh, that's your child. No, that's our child, fool. I didn't lay down and have this baby by myself. But men have been running from responsibility since the Garden of Eden. So let's understand that. So you have to understand that you got to get a man who is not afraid of responsibility and a man who has integrity. And integrity is one of the most lacking things in a lot of men. Not only men, but a lot of women too. A lot of humans. Let's just say that. Because integrity means you do the right thing even when ain't nobody watching. And you know sometimes how we are? Well, I cut this cone. I cut that cone. Ain't nobody gonna care. Anybody gonna see this. Not understanding that that's your integrity level, brother. And if you'll do wrong when ain't nobody watching, you'll do wrong when somebody is watching because you never know who's watching. See, so we have to understand that you look for certain attributes and characteristics if you're looking for a real man. Now, if you're just looking for a man, then that's different. You know, that's different. You're going to get a man. But like I say, don't get mad when you get you a 6 foot tall, 245 pound 12-year-old. Go ahead and try to re-raise him. Go ahead and make sure you got his, you know, he at the house while you at work and the kids at school, he over there drinking all the Capri Suns and playing PlayStation. You know, because he's 12 in the head. But he looked like a grown man when you put him in some clothes and take him outside, and that's what you wanted. So that's what you got. Amen. So no, to whoever sent that in, we don't have real men don't have problems with strong black women. Because we were usually raised by a strong black woman. Now, and like I said, so get you a grown man. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any other questions over there, producer?
What do you mean by run the house?
He is the head of the household. That's what I mean by he run the house. When let me tell you something about a man. And God ordains this in his word. Now, he'll listen to his woman, but he in husband, let's understand that the word husband is synonymous with house band. I mean, he's the band around the house that holds it together. So ultimately, the decisions, if he's running the house, the decisions should be mutual conversation, but he has the ultimate decision making is on him. And what I mean by that is, When God tells a woman to submit to her own husband, when you submit to something, you have to trust in and honor it to be submissive to it. Now, the thing is, if you submit to something that's abusive to you or or neglectful to you, then you submitted to the wrong thing. That ain't your husband. That's not the house band. That's not what's going to hold your house together. More than likely, that's what's going to tear your house down. So let's understand that we have to, you know, when we have to not be scared of words like run the house. What do you mean run the house? Yeah, he runs the house. The man of the house runs the house, whether he makes more money or not. If that's who you chose to be with, that's who runs the house. You know, so that's just plain and simple. But you have to understand, you have to get a husband who understands the role in his, that he has in your life. Because, see, first of all, a man, I'm just going to say me, but most brothers that I know my age or younger, some that have really committed to being married and being in monogamous relationships, understand that you have to get you a woman who trusts you enough for you to fail. Now, you want to understand what I'm saying about trust you enough that you can fail? I know that if I ask my wife to do something a certain way, she's going to do it the way I ask her to do it. Understanding that if it does not work when she does it the way I ask her to do it, she trusts me enough to come back to me and tell me, hey, look, I did this the way you told me to do it, but it didn't work. Now, the trust comes where she has to trust me that I'm going to say, okay, fine, I'll fix it. And then I'll go and fix it. You know, that's the kind of relationship you really want to have in a marriage. At least that's what I want out of a marriage. And so many men are looking for the same thing. You have to get you somebody who trusts you enough to do what you ask him to do, the way you ask him to do it, and trust that if it fails, you'll fix it. You're man enough to fix it. First of all, you got to be man enough to accept, hey, man, I did it the way you did it, the way I did it, the way you told me to do it, and it didn't work. So now what you going to do? That's how your wife should be able to come to you and you not get mad. Because, hey, if she did it the way you said, then that's, hey, now the responsibility is on you. Now, little boy in that situation is going to be like, well, I ain't tell you to do it exactly like that. I said, do it. And he's lying because you did it exactly the way he told you to do it, and it didn't work. Now, you being a woman, you knew it wasn't going to work, but you did it the way he said anyway because you're trying to be his woman, his wife, and you're submitting to your own husband. Now, in doing so, you have let a clown leave the circus. You've all of a sudden found out. But now you got to trust Krusty the Clown to fix it. And that's where the problem starts coming in. Because 9 times out of 10, he didn't have a backup plan. Let me tell you something. A real man has a plan, a backup plan, and then a backup to his backup plan. That's how we think. That's just what you have to be when you're grown. Because so many times there's going to be some, you know, and we know it. Me and my dad used to say it all the time. We put out fires as they go, as they pop up. And if a little fire pop up over there, I go and put it out. Now, we didn't expect these fires, but we got to be ready for them just in case, because you never know what dynamics will shift in our black community at any time. You may walk in there and deal with the wrong white person that day, or the wrong person who ain't loving their job today, and have to deal with a certain situation that you should not have had to deal with. But if that's the case, then you have to go back and reevaluate and come up with your backup plan and try to make that work. So that's where that comes in. I got another question from the producer now. Hold on.
Shouldn't the marriage be a partnership where she is weak and strong, and take up that, and where she is strong, she has that?
Right.
For example, if a man is horrible with money, he takes care of finance. It should be a partnership.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Marriage is a partnership. Don't get the wrong partner. That's the thing. Let me tell you something. What is it we always scream? Teamwork make a dream work. That's the same concept like a team, like a football team. You have never seen a team send 11 quarterbacks out there. Never. Even though the quarterback is probably the best athlete on the team, they're not going to send 11 quarterbacks out there, because they got to have somebody who block. They got to have somebody who can catch the ball. They can run fast. Somebody who can pick up the blitz. They got to have all that. Then they got to have the quarterback who can sling the football 60 yards down the field because another man on the outside ran 60 yards past his coverage. So, yeah, you're right. It is a teamwork thing, but that's where team dynamics come in.
Okay, you said that the husband makes the ultimate.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said. I said even if he doesn't make the most money. That's what I said. I did not say that. Look, let me tell you something. If you got a husband that don't know what he's doing, by all means, take over. Or your whole family going down the drain. That's just all it. If you pick the husband who does not know what he's doing and he's proving it time and time again that he don't know nothing, either get rid of him or get you somebody to do or take over the reign. One of the three. That's it. That's all you can do. I mean, I would never tell you because a man is a man, let him be stupid. Really? I'm going to follow what the Bible even talks about the blind leading the blind. They both going to fall in the ditch, ain't they? Why I'm going to walk with you and fall in the ditch?
Well,
especially if you're an educated black woman who has her stuff together. Now, sometimes you'll get caught up in the, what do you call it? Razzle dazzle. Oh, he look good. Look at them shoes on his feet. Man, that might be his last dime he spent on that suit and that and he stayed with his mama in the basement. You know what I'm saying? So that is not good financial decisions, first of all. Let's talk about that.
I think they were preferring that trust, okay, he may know the right way to do it, trust him with what he's saying. No, she told it ain't gonna work. Go ahead and let him fail.
No, I didn't say let him fail. I said what I said was this. See, people hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And they hear it out of their pain and their situation they're going through. So what I'm telling you is this. A real husband and wife dynamic, right? The husband is the ultimate decision maker in the house, first of all. He may ask the children. He may ask the wife. He going to ask everybody. He may even ask some outside forces. But when it comes down to it, he should be the ultimate decision maker in the house, period. That's what a house band holds the house together. Now, if he makes the wrong decision, then that's in detriment to the house, right? That's in detriment to the house. He's not a good leader. You chose the wrong husband. That's just all it is to it. So what I'm saying is this. A wife will follow the instructions of the leader of the house. Yeah. If I tell you, look, we got a gas bill, a light bill, and a water bill due right now. The gas bill was due last 2 weeks ago. The light bill was due a week ago. The water bill just showed up. So if I tell you go pay the gas bill first, then pay the light bill, and we'll wait on the water bill. But while you pay those two, you go and pay those two in that order, and then the water gets shut off. Right? Who you gonna come to? You gonna come to the husband and say, hey, baby, I did what you told me to do with the money we had. The water got shut off today. Well, they just sent the bill last week. I know, but the water got shut off today. Ain't no other discussion other than what are you finna do about getting this water turned back on? And a real man gonna listen to him and be like, okay, baby, don't worry about it. I got it. And he gonna go out and cut yards. He gonna go out and flip whatever he can do, hustle. But he's going to come up with that water bill money and get that water turned back on to keep his house together.
Okay.
So, that's the example that I have to use.
That's nice. Okay. So what if they could have just bought the whole situation and listened to the wife? If the wife is good, but I'm saying the wife is good, he's just do that. He's good with the money, right?
Right, I'm saying.
They sit down and she say, this money, we go here, this money, we go here, this money, we go here. If the husband speaks up, he can trump logic and do what he wanted. I think
yeah. No, see, if you listen to what I just said.
No, it's not me.
I'm just saying. But I'm not you. I'm saying if you listen, them people out there, listen to what I'm saying. If the light bill was due 2-3 weeks ago, and the gas bill was due a week ago, or the water, I mean, yeah, gas bill was due a week ago, and the water bill just showed up. Logically, you're going to pay the one that's the oldest. That's logic. Then you're going to pay the one that's next. Now, your money that ran out, you ain't got no money for the water bill right now. So you paid those two, and you're waiting to get the money together for your water bill. But the water got cut off while you're waiting to get the money together. You did exactly what your husband told you to do. Now you got to trust him enough that you say, hey, baby, I paid these two bills because that's what you told me to do first. But our water cut off. Now, what you going to do? A little boy going to get mad. What you mean? What I'm going to do? A real man going to tell you, baby, don't worry about it. I got it. And get up right then and go start getting that money together for that water bill. You see what I'm saying? That's the logic I'm talking about when it comes to a man's decisions, you know, being the ultimate decision on how things are run in the house. Now, woman takes care of the household. Now, don't get me wrong. She takes care of the raising of the kids, the how the house is decorated, how it's set up, all that type of stuff. That's just how it goes. But a man has a role as the ultimate decision maker in the house. Now, he don't need to be coming home talking about, baby, put that couch back over there. That ain't none of his damn business where that couch is. Sit down on it. Long as his pillow, you know me, all I tell you, I don't care what you're doing here. Long as my pillow is in there in that bed, I can lay on it and go to sleep. I'm good. Now, you move my pillow, I'll throw my pillow. What's the comment? Go ahead.
The comment is, you know, for women, you know, women know how to pay bills. They don't need instructions from their husband on how to pay bills.
Some don't. Let's say that.
Oh.
Not all. See, ain't y'all always on Facebook screaming about, ow, why you saying ow? Like I said, some need some guidance. Because you got some women out here, you give them a checkbook, they'll eat it. They don't know what the hell to do with it. They don't know how to balance no checkbook. That baby ain't never had no checkbook. That baby that had a, look, some babies ain't have never had nothing but an ATM card. And that's a Cash App card. It ain't even a real bank account. So don't play with me. And act like all of y'all are just highly intelligent and Amazonian and, you know, all the wizards of the world, because some of y'all dumb as a stick. And that's just all it is to it. So, I mean, so you need a man that can financially help you out. Because if not, you're going to be stuck in a rut. So let's not just get it twisted and act like y'all the superior knowledge in every household in America, because that's not the truth at all. You know, you might know how to put on eyeliner, but you don't know how to balance a checkbook. You don't know how to make sure the car maintenance is up to date. You'll forget to get AAA and then call me crying and hollering about your car broke down on the side of the road. And I'm at work. So why didn't you get AAA like I asked you to do? Oh, well, I use that money to go get a wig. I use that money to go get me some new shoes. Well, use them new shoes and walk on to the house then. Since you didn't use it for the AAA. That's that, you know, you could be handled like that. Now, a real man gonna come get his wife, but that is definitely a comeback. I asked you to get AAA. We get AAA every year. How did you forget? You know, but you act like y'all the wisdom of the household. No, you're not all the time. Come on now. Let's just be real. Now y'all act like all daddy did was drop off. I almost said it. Like he dropped off something and you was born and he wasn't no more good after that. That's not how it worked. Daddy did some things in that household to make that household run good. If you had a real daddy who was a real man. Now, if you didn't, then yeah, all he did was drop something off and left and bun off and went and dropped something off somewhere else. That happens too. But we're not talking about all. You can't say, I ain't saying all women this or all women that. I ain't saying all men this or all men that. You have to understand that these values and the different perspectives that I give on my show come from my life and what I've seen and what I've been around. I was a barber for over 20 years. So I dealt with all different kinds of men, all different kinds of women coming in there with their little boys to get their hair cut. So I know what's out there in the world. I ain't green to it at all. I grew up right here on Herschelwood. So you know I done seen some foolishness. So don't tell me about what about the woman who did. Yeah, what about her? If she got one of them kind of men that ain't got no sense, then she chose wrong. plain and simple. Bottom line, I can't put no sugar on it. I can't put no salt. I can't put no seasoning on it and change it from what it is. That's just what you got. You got what you got because that's what you settled for or that's what you want. He looked good enough. His shoulders was wide enough. His arms was big enough. His mustache sit on his face just right. But his head was a box of rocks. So deal with that box of rocks and keep him looking good. And just look, just put a stick in his back and prop him up like a big old dummy and let him sit there when your people come over like a bobblehead. Yeah, that's what you wanted. You got your bobblehead, a good looking bobblehead. So handle your business. That's all I can tell you. You know, so, you know, many of us want to ask God for things and don't wait on God to give it to us. We go get it ourselves. Then you want to curse God because you got what you asked for. You got what you wanted, bro. Not what you needed, not what he was going to send you, but you hurried up and got in God's business and ended up getting what you wanted. Now you don't want it. Now, look, it's so easy to get married. It costs what? How much is a marriage license? $16? Something like that? $16 for a marriage license. So is it? I can't even remember. It's been so long ago, I can't even remember. But I know it's cheap. Put it like this, it's under $25. Yeah, compared to trying to go get unhitched from this food that you lock yourself into. And he locked up like foes on the dice. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going nowhere. He gonna roll over each time and be eight every time. Two foes on the dice. Now you don't want them foes no more. You want to hit a seven or a six. You got foes. That's what you got. Because that's what you wanted. You locked in. Now it's gonna cost you $1,200 to get unhooked from a clown that you didn't have to spend that 16 or 18 or whatever the marriage license price is from. You had no business spending that in the first place with. So don't cry when you get what you got. Huh? You can't cry. You can't cry. You deal with it. You strong black woman. Get your tough behind out there and deal with it. That's what you do. Huh? What'd you say, producer?
Get a divorce.
I mean, hey, save your $1,200 up and go get your divorce. And look, pick you another nut off the tree. That's what you do.
Don't pick your nut out yet.
But now, I say things in a joking manner just to kind of lighten the mood. But we have to understand that when you're dealing with relationships, there's a lot of dynamics that go into relationship. Me and my wife have known each other for a little over 4 years. We've been married for a little over 3. And we are still learning one another. And the thing is, you have to get with somebody who understands that you ain't gonna know it all, and you gotta understand that they ain't gonna know it all. But you are willing and have enough love and mutual respect for each other and loyalty to each other to be patient with the learning. Because both of you still learn. Me and my wife still learn each other. It's a lot of things that I do that she don't like. There's a lot of stuff she do that I don't like. But we are willing and patient enough and understanding. And first of all, you have to have a marriage that's full of grace and mercy. The same things we ask from God, we got to give it in our marriage. You ask God for grace and mercy for all that foolishness you've done. Remember them nights that you was a little too drunk and got behind the wheel anyway? On the nights you was a little too drunk and woke up with somebody you didn't even know who that was, and you had grace and mercy, and you went to the doctor and wasn't nothing wrong with you, or you went outside and your car didn't have no dents in it, you still drove straight down the line, that's grace and mercy. That's God's grace and mercy on your life. You got to have that same type of grace and mercy when you make these foolish decisions in these marriages and dealing with each other. Because I'm going to make some dumb decisions, she going to make some. That's just how it is. But I have to be loving enough. Love is it ushers in grace and mercy. Put it like that. Real love ushers in grace and mercy. So we tend to holler about I love you, but you can't stand each other. Let them do one thing wrong. They get up in the morning and leave the cap off the toothpaste and you lose your mind. They can get up in the morning and put the toilet paper roll on coming down instead of coming up, and you lose your mind. So that's not any kind of grace and mercy. So you have to understand that at all times in a real relationship and a real marriage, you will have to show grace and mercy the same way God does with us. Because believe me, if we got everything we deserve, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now on this video. I'd have been gone. Because let me tell you something. I thank God I didn't get what I deserve some nights, some evenings, some days. You know, there's a lot of things that I did that I had no business walking away from and still being able to breathe. Now, I was caught in some situations. I've thrown myself on the crap table a couple of nights with females, not understanding that, anything could have been transpired, could have been transferred to me. And thank God, none of that ever happened. But, we tend to not get good understanding. I tell my wife all the time, communication is good, but understanding is the greatest thing you want to get out of any back and forth situation. You want to get a good understanding, and I want to have a good understanding before we leave this right here. So, just deal with it accordingly. As I can tell you, don't go out and get you a 6 foot tall, 245 pound 12-year-old. And then you won't have a lot of problems in your life you'll be able to avoid. But let's go on to what I like to end my shows with, and that's called hood shenanigans. Hood shenanigans are anything that you see in the hood that you know ain't right. But black neighborhoods, we accept anything. We let it slide. We understand that, hey, they ain't got it all. We tend to dismiss wrong behavior, put it like that. And this week's hood shenanigan for me is, I'm so sick and tired of seeing every bicycle in my neighborhood with a 50-year-old man on the back of it. Kids don't even ride bikes no more. They can't. Because you done took off, ran to the store to go get a 40-ounce on that baby bike, and they ain't came back none today. So I don't even see kids no more in the neighborhood riding. We were outside last year, buddy of mine. We were outside Christmas morning. He was at his mother's house. I was at mine. We was outside Christmas morning, sitting out just talking and laughing and understanding. We just happened to look up, and we both thought about it at the same time. We said, man, ain't no kids outside. It's 8:30 in the morning on Christmas morning. Look, when we were kids, we used to be outside at 7 o'clock in the morning, as soon as the daybreak come. We done got up at 6 and unwrapped every present. It's wrapping paper all over the living room or wherever, whatever room the tree was in. And we outside with our new ball, our new bike, our new whatever, outside playing like kids supposed to be doing. Nowadays, we looked up, I said, man, ain't no kid outside riding a bike right now at 8:30 in the morning. But we have gotten so far away from kids just being kids. See, because when we were growing, technology has ruined childhood. Because when I was growing up, if you had a friend, you had to go outside and play with them. That was the only way you kept a friend. Y'all actually played with one another. Nowadays, kids are in the house on the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever, playing a game all day, eating Cheetos and drinking sodas all day. And then you wonder why that baby is 10 years old with high blood pressure or diabetes already at 10. Because he's eating Oreos and drinking Coke all day and eating hot fries and all that other mess instead of you sending him outside and letting him get some type and some value out of physical activity. And you wondering why Junior, 10 years old and wear size 38 in men's pants. Because Junior's fat. Junior's in the kitchen eating all day and playing PlayStation. And he is what's known at 10 years old as a couch potato. When I was 10 years old, I didn't know what a couch potato was. I thought my mom was going to make mashed potatoes out of it or something, probably. That was about it. But you got 10-year-old couch potatoes right now. And we need to get back to some semblance of the good old days, as they say. You know, Donald Trump had a slogan talking about make America great again. Well, what we do is make our households great again in our black community. But let me tell you something. We try so hard to work and provide and give our kids everything we didn't have. But let's try giving them some of the stuff we did have, such as manners, such as physical activity outside, such as building relationships with friends, you know, face-to-face, one-on-one. You got kids nowadays that go to high school and can't even stand up in front of a class and give a book report that they read, that they read and wrote themselves. They too afraid to stand up and talk to people. You know, so we have to get back to giving them some of the stuff that we got when we kids. That now you're trying to give them things that you didn't get, but give them some of the stuff that you did get. And let me tell you another thing. I am a behind-whooping survivor. My mama got trophies for whooping my butt. We try to raise our kids by the book, as they say, reading the book. And the only thing my mama used the book for was to hit me upside my head with it. That was about it. You might get hit side of the head with the book if that's the going by the book on this house on Herschelwood back in the day. But we want to raise our kids with decorum and the way white folks tell us we supposed to raise our kids. First of all, when the white folks were telling how to raise kids, they weren't raising black kids. They weren't going through the problems that the ghetto puts in a black child's life. They kids weren't seeing what black children see on a day-to-day. They weren't seeing that, so they didn't have the anger, the animosity, and all these different other things that black children grow up with. Black kids grow up fast. They got to have discipline. They got to have responsibilities. They got to have so many other aspects in their life that are going to be conducive to them being good adults. But we want to raise our kids like white kids and then understand, want to wonder why when you junior 30 years old is still staying at home with you. Because you ain't taught junior how to live on his own. Junior is still, junior is 30 years old, 6 foot tall, 245 pounds, and he's 12 years old in the heat. So guess what? You going to wait till junior. If you go by that, he's 30 and he's 12 in the head. Junior going to be 38, 40 years old before you can put him out the house and let him live on his own. Then he going to struggle because he really had the mindset of an 18-year-old. Yeah. So we have to understand that we got to get back to raising our children and tending to our household. That needs to be our first responsibility as black men. Let's stop dropping babies off and starting over in different households. Yeah, we treat a household like we leave it like we on fire. You drop your baby off, catch it, your back catch on fire, you run out the front door and drop and roll and get up and take off on down the street and go somewhere else and start another fire. That's not how we're supposed to be living our lives. If you have started a family with a young lady, be responsible enough to stay there and help her raise that child. Because what's going to happen is, without you being there, that child is never going to develop into what he or she is supposed to. You know, sure, a black woman can raise a child on her own. That's fine. But she can't give that child what a man would have given that child in his life. She's not going to be able to do it. I don't care how strong of a black woman she is. She's still a black woman. She can lift 400 pounds. She still ain't no man. She still got she still got to put on a bra. So let's just say that, you know, so that we need to understand that a man is necessary. So we will continue this next week, and hopefully I can get a couple of my guests back on the show, and we'll see y'all. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in to JD's Man Cave. I hope something was said that will help you further along in your life. Amen. So thank you for tuning in.
Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave. Coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.